We're up to Perek Yud Aleph. This is the last of the three prakim of Eve's third response. I think it's his third response. Adam Yelud Isha Kitzar Yamim Usavar Regis. Perek Yud Aleph Pasuk Aleph. Perek Yud Aleph. Adam. So he Eve begins to complain and he says, Hashem, why do you bother? Why do you bother to deal with me? Why do you bother to punish me and to cause me so much suffering? I am insignificant. And the way he expresses his insignificance is by saying that a human being, an Adam, is nothing more than a Yelud Isha, is a child of a woman. And in this context, the Isha is not a very complimentary term. Yes, we'll see what the Masuda says about what an Isha is. And therefore, being an Adam is nothing more than a product of an Isha. He's insignificant. He's not worth very much. Kitsar Yamim. He is... Good morning. He is Kitsar Yam, he is a short in days, Usvar Roiges, and he is sated with Roiges, he is sated with anger. Now what does that mean exactly? Let's take a look at the Mitzvah's Pasuk Aleph. Adam, Haloi Ha'adam, is it not true that man, who Yelud Meisha, he is a product of a woman, Vim Kain, therefore that the purpose, Mekor Mishachas, his source is from Shachas. Shachas normally means the grave, which is interesting because the Gemara does say that the woman's womb is a grave. That indeed is the term the Gemara uses to define woman's rechem. The Gemara talks about a woman becoming a needle. Let's say a woman goes through some type of surgical procedure, and a doctor inserts some type of instrument into her womb, her uterus. So what's the term Chazal use? Does she become a needle? Ein psichas kever beloidan. This not good morning. Welcome back. Shalom aleichem. I got the message.
Okay,
thank you.
Okay.
I'm sorry. Yeah. Sorry.
You're a guest, right?
Do we continue?
Okay, so the welcome back. Welcome back. Well, we're up to Perig. We're up to Perig. Perig Yudalid. Perig Yudalid Pasuk Aleph. Okay, let's just jump ahead to Pasuk Beis for one moment. Kitzitz Yatza Vayimol. A person is like a flower. Kitzitz Yatza. Let's read two or three psukim and then we'll go do the mitzvahs. A person is like a flower that comes forth Vayimol, but immediately after the flower comes forth Vayimol, it's cut off. How long does a flower last? Flowers have an extremely short shelf life. They don't last very long. Vayivrach katzel v'lo yamod, and a person's days, his existence, flies away like shade. V'lo yamod does not remain. A person does not live on this world very long, just like shade does not last very long. Shade is only there as long as the sun is in the correct position. Once the position changes, then the shade changes. Okay, now I'll go back and we'll do the mitzvahs. Now the reason why I stopped should be fairly obvious. I don't think you people appreciate why I stopped. Okay, you understand why I stopped? You understand why I stopped? Okay. No. I was in the middle of reading the mitzvahs of Pasuk Aleph. Haloi Adam hu yilud mi isha v'yim kein defa mikar mi shachas. If a person's source, a woman, is shachas. A woman is called the grave. Kihi, what is a woman? Now you understand why I was stolen? Kihi, a woman is chamas melei tzoa, a container that is filled with tzoa. Okay, that's a very powerful word. Upia melei adam, the opening of the woman, of the erva, is full of blood. So, therefore, man is a nothing. If man comes from a chamas, a malei tzoa, a pia malei adam, what could be expected of such a creature? Okay? The af Who katzayam, a person lives a very short time in this world, and most of man's days are filled with terror. A person is confused every single day. He has daigas can continue, worries and things that terrify a person, ad ki yisba, to the degree where he is satiated, mayhem, legoidel ribuyam, due to their enormous number. So now we go back with the entire pasuk again. He says here are three excuses for man not to accomplish anything in this world. He is a yelud isha. His source, he comes from a physical, disgusting source. He's kitzar yamim. He has a very short time on this world. So what do you expect? Most of the day, he's oisik in 11 hours a day. You're on a cell phone. Isn't that the headlines of the news yesterday? People's parents spend on the cell phone 11 hours a day. That's is that possible even? 11 hours a day on the cell phone? With their phone. Kitsar yamim, you have no time. Time is very short. You're busy, busy, busy. So what can a person accomplish? Utsvar roiges. And the third excuse is, on top of all that, the whole day you're worried, what's going to be? What's going to be with your children? What's going to be with parnasa? What's going to be with health? What's going to be this? Just staigus. So the combination of these three things certainly is a chut ha-meshulish. It's a very good excuse why man cannot have any, there's no expectation for man. And therefore, being that there's no expectation for man, the Eev is saying to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, why do you bother to deal with me to punish me and focus on causing me pain?
Okay. That's not Rosh Hashanah. I mean, no one else says that except for the Sudras. You should go and look.
Okay, what is Rash? There is no Rash. What do we mean no one else says that?
What's Pshat? Adam Yelidisha.
Yeah.
You're born to your limited life.
Yeah.
So you have a limited life, and
and you're satisfied with anger, with fear. So therefore, what's the context? What's the purpose of saying this? So this explains.
You created me. I should live a short life, and you have a tough life. That's what you do.
And therefore, don't have any expectations of me. And that's therefore, why do you hold me accountable? Why am I accountable? Exactly. So therefore, he's telling Hashem, why are you punishing me? Why are you causing me to suffer so much pain? What did I do? What did I do that I deserve to suffer? When this, what can you possibly expect from me? Shalom Aleichem. Welcome back. Okay, Pasuk Beis. Now there is the Pasuk Beis Kitzitz. Then another example. There's even more excuses. He's saying man is compared to a flower. Flowers have a very short shelf life. Kitzitz yotza vayimol, like a flower which goes forth, and immediately vayimol is cut off. Vayimol is a very unusual word in this context. Vayimol, it's kimo yimolel viyavesh, to wither. It withers away. So to man, the moment he comes forth, he begins to wither. Vayivrach, and his days flee. His life is running away from him. Katzel, like shade. Shade is always on the move. As the sun moves through the sky throughout the day, the shade is always... What?
Kitzitz novel
v'chalom yofiyah in Chanami. Probably some that probably comes from this. Katzel v'lo yamud. Pasuk beis in the Mitzudas. Kitzitz doimehu litzitz. Man is compared to a flower. Asher yuchras miyad kasher yotza, which immediately is cut off the moment it blossoms. Already, that's the beginning of its decline. Does not have any chance to enjoy its existence. V'lo yamud, does not last man. V'yivrach maher yivrach menol. Man flees this world. Kitzel hazeh, similar to shade. Asher lo yamud zman rav, does not stay long. B'mokem echad ki kasher yifna hashemesh, as the sun moves through the sky. Ken yinte hatz. The shade is moved from its uprooted from its place. Pasuk Gimel, Af al zeh. So then Eve concludes after he gives these examples. He says, Af al zeh po kachto einecha. And even on this, do you open your eyes? Opening of the eyes here means to pay attention. So if man is compared, is all of these chesroinos, yilurisha, tzayamim, svareges, tzitzyotza, he's a katzel, is it kedai for you, Hashem, to open your eyes and to pay attention to such a creature? Af al zeh, po pitachta einecha. And furthermore, not only do you pay attention to the degree where the osi savi v'mishpat imach. You hold me accountable. You judge me. You punish me. You cause me to suffer for being for my things that I am deficient. And the mitzvah really adds more and more than what it says in the pasuk. Look at the pasuk gimel. Afal zeh. Afal bria shefola kizeh, on this low life, this low creature, por kachto einecha, is it kedai for you to open your eyes, lahashkiach the masaf, to pay attention to what man does, and furthermore, uledaktek acharav, and to be demanding and to examine his ways. Now here he goes further. The yoyser mizeh. More than this, doesn't say this in the pasuk. This is what the Mitzudos is adding into the pasuk, which is a little bit going off on a limb here. It doesn't say this. The yoyser mizeh shegam. Shagam osi, you also gonna judge me? Shani menuka meyavam. It's bad enough, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, if you would go and you would judge and take to heart a human being that does sins, because even a sin that a human being does is insignificant, is a nothing. But al achas kam v'kam on an innocent person like me who has done absolutely nothing, is it kedai for you to go and to torture me? And why? What's the only reason? So he's referring back to the last argument presented by Tzofar Hanamosi. Tzofar Hanamosi said the reason why you're suffering is because you have not fulfilled your potential. Hashem has given you great potential, and there's more that you could accomplish in this world, and you fail to fulfill that potential, and therefore you are deserving of suffering. So Eve is saying, that's ridiculous, that even if I would have committed crimes, it would be beneath you, Hashem, to punish me, because I'm an insignificant creature. Allah has kama v'kama, where I have not committed a crime, and the only thing that I have not done is fulfill my potential, certainly it's not kedai for you to punish me and cause me pain. So, well, we have Yosem is that. Furthermore, Shagam Osi Shani Menuka Mi Ovain Tavi Imcha B'Mishpat Le'an Sheni, to punish me. Alasher Kotzarti B'Chochma Lefi Shir Hachanosi, that I have been deficient in wisdom according to my potential. In other words, I have not fulfilled my potential. This is the expression that we had before. We had in the pre-program before this over this team over the Chochma versus the Hachana. The Hachana we translated there as person's background, his potential, his environment. What he it basically means his potential. What he has, what he can fulfill. And the Chochma is used in this context to refer to what he actually fulfilled, what he accomplished relative to his potential. The Chochma, in B'chasha Omar Tzof, like Tzofar Hanamosi, argued with Iyov. So this is how, and the reason why he's saying this, the reason why the Mitzudos adds this long elaboration to the pasuk is the word Af. Af means the more so. I mean, even the basics, it's not kedai for you, Hashem, to be involved. But af, even to go further, well, maybe, okay, I'm not exactly sure, but that's how the mitzvah is. Af, you judge me, he's complaining. Now, what do we see from this? What's the obvious answer? That's all that was very important about learning Sefer Iyov, and this is where Rav Schwab develops. And what's the answer? The answer is self-obvious, that yes, HaKadosh Baruch Hu does view this insignificant creature to be extremely important. We don't realize. That's something that I think every person in their life must think this, what Eve is saying over here, a million times. That why, what it was insignificant. So what's it all about anyway? What is man? Man, at any given moment in time, there are 7 billion people. So what's one little person? One little person is a speck of dust compared to what's out there in this world, in the universe. So what is the answer? That's right. That's exactly the point. That is exactly the greatness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That every single person makes a difference. Every single person counts. Every single person matters and participates in Hashem's world. We don't understand that, but that's true. And Schwab, he develops a great level. He describes that today in science we know the smaller the thing is. Talk about in health in things which different glands, hormones. which cause a person to be healthy. These things can only be seen under a microscope. And these teeny little things that only can be seen under the strongest microscopes make a world of a difference to a person if he'll be healthy or, Rahman al-Tzlan, be sick. So it's the same thing when it comes to Kodesh Baruch Hu. An insignificant little speck of dust does make a major difference. I once heard a story about a I don't remember the little details about a person who was once the conductor.
Tuscanini story.
What's the title? How does it go? You tell it then. What's the story?
It was about Tshuva.
Yeah.
And he came to learn, and he sat in the Beis Medrash and he knew nothing. And he went over to Rav and he said, you know, what's my learning going to accomplish? What am I doing?
Yeah.
So he said, I'll tell you a story. There was an interview, was writing a biography in Tuscanini. Was in the 40s. He was the world's most famous conductor. And he went to interview him, and he said, you can't interview me between 2 and 3 because I'm listening to a radio broadcast of the...
Radio broadcast.
London Philharmonic, which I once led. I want to hear how they're doing Beethoven. So whatever. He said, I promise I won't say anything. I want to listen. At the end, he listens quietly. He says to the conductor, how was it? It was great, right?
No good.
No. There was one violin of the 14 violins. One was missing. It's an orchestra of 109 pieces.
And he was able to hear it.
He says, see, he laughed. The conductor said, you know, the journalist said, he calls up the music director, he says, I'm writing a piece. How many pieces were you orchestra? He says, I'll get back to you. He calls back, says, we're supposed to have 109, and one guy was missing in the string section. So he went to Tuscanini, he said, how do you know? He says, because if you're a conductor, every sound, the timbre is there. So he said, about you, that eventually I'll...
Same thing.
Yeah.
Every player makes a difference.
You don't understand, but...
Fascinating story. Unbelievable. Okay, so that's his message here. Now, Rashi is very sure. Rashi says, come out the same thing. Is it Kedai you, Hashem, on this thing which is Hevel and Nirkov, Pokachto Einecha, to open your eyes, Ladakteik Bichatov, to examine his sins, the Oisi Atamevi Bimishpot Alavonosaya, my sins? Rashi's not like the Mitzudas. Rashi is focusing more on transgressions. The Mitzudas does not focus on transgressions, because according to the Mitzudas, Eve is claiming I did nothing wrong, I'm a tzaddik. The only thing that I can be held accountable for, according to Tzavar Namasi, is my failure to fulfill my potential. But Rashi doesn't talk about potential. Rashi talks about actual transgressions, and even that, simply, he's saying from the Shmach, it's just not kedai for you to pay attention to my sins. It's a very scary thought, because if you know, if a person has no fear of Kadosh Baruch Hu, and just a matter of living to get away with whatever society will tolerate, and you can do any sin you want, that's a pretty scary thing to say to Kadosh Baruch Hu, who's not going to punish a person for his sins. Pasuk Dalet is a very popular pasuk, very famous pasuk, and subject to much discussion. And this first reading would say very simply, Mi yitain tar mi tamei loy echad. According to the Mitzudos, Eov is giving another excuse for his insubordination. What's his excuse? I come from two parents who are tamei. In other words, he's saying, according to Yitzhak HaNamasi, I don't have much potential. Your argument was, I have potential. Your argument was that if I have great potential, and therefore I should have fulfilled my potential. I got to tell you, Tzofar, I don't have any potential. I can't be greater than my parents. And my parents are both Tameim. And what does that mean, they're Tameim? So let's take a look at this very elaborate Mitzudos David, Pasuk Dalet, Mi Yitain, V'chi Efshar. Now this Pashup Shad, it's so funny how you learn Psukim, you only learn the Drush. Like, it's like, you know, they had a Chazal, the Gemara, Kol Yomai. I learned the whole Torah, and I never knew how Shamikra, She'ein HaMikra Yotzim De Peshuta. I always thought every single pasuk in the Torah is just a mashal. I never knew, I'm already an old man, I never knew that there's a Pashup Shad in the pasuk. There's such a thing as a Pashup Shad. This is an example, you know, if you don't learn Tanakh, like me, you don't learn Tanakh, you know, you learn a piece of Gemara, or you learn some Drush Svarim, so you see a pasuk, so you're brainwashed, there's only a Drush, I'll read you the Medrash, what the popular Drush is. But there's also a Pashup Shad. Don't forget, that's the Pashup Shat. So what's the Pashup Shat? So here's where at least the Mitzudas gives us the Pashup Shat. Rashi is a little more complicated, but Mitzudas says, Mi yitain v'chi efshe shanoilai minatame yitaher. Is it really possible that a human being who comes from a source of tumah, can he become pure? Kol kach, to the degree ad sheyasmid bechol eis laharchiv liba b'chachma, that he can intensify, he can be a masmid at every moment, laharchiv liba b'chachma, to expand his heart in wisdom. Fehaloi, I have no potential, I have an excuse. What is my excuse? Fehaloi avi v'imi shneim hoyu tmeim me'amei cho aratzos. And this touched upon the question, when did Eve live? Was Eve Jewish? Was he not Jewish? Similarly, you can make a very powerful argument from what he's going to say at the end of this parak, that he was not Jewish, that he had no concept of Tchias HaMesim. He's going to soon say a whole series of sukkim, that's the main bulk of this parak, to completely deny the concept of Tchias HaMesim. So that's... It's not a Jewish concept, which we'll talk about a little bit later. But he's saying over here that my parents, right? They're in Midrashim. So exactly where did they come from? But it's my parents come from Me'amei Ho'aratzos. They are from the nations of the world who live a life of impurity. Loy rak. Then he goes, now this one means loy echad. It means loy rak ho echad lihios ze v'ze goyrim. It's not that. Maybe you'll tell me, at least, well, one of my parents, I come from a mixed marriage. My mother has groyser yichus. She comes from a groyser rebbe. And my father, he was a goy. Or the other way around. My father comes from big yichus. My mother was a goy. If that was the case, then maybe so far you're right. Maybe then you can say that within your DNA you do have some good yichus, some good stock. You should focus on the good yichus and use that to develop, become a wise man. But I'm sorry to tell you, Tsefer Hanamasi, lo yechad. Not even one of my parents has good yichus. It's amazing mitzvahs. He's coming to teach the pasuk the yichus of his parents. Lo yechad. Not even one of my parents has choshev yichus. And therefore, what can you expect from me? Here we were going to blame in society. We're always looking for who to blame. So everyone is blaming. I blame my rebbeim. I blame my parents. I blame my school. I blame my community. Everyone is putting the blame. So here he's pointing the blame on Eov. Is the first one to do this. He's blaming his parents. Who are my parents? They both are no good. And don't tell me that maybe one of my parents was good. They're both no good. Lo yechad. I can't even say, you can't even say one of my parents could be good, and therefore you can tell me zev zegoyrim, that both of them are going to cause me to be who I am, and maybe there'll be hope for me, I can focus on the good yichus. That's not so. Kim shneim hayu tmeim. Both of my parents are no good. Zekizeh, and therefore me'olid kasha liyos hanoilad mehem tohor kolkach, and therefore I have no hope. This is impossible for me to be a pure person, to expand my heart in chokhmah, to recognize Hashem's ways, and to be oimed in all the nisyonos that life presents. So we read the pasuk again according to the mitzvot. It means mi yitain. How could you? So he's speaking directly to Tzofar, and he's saying mi yitain. Can it really be tahar? I should be a tahar mitamei when I have come from a source of tumah, and the source of tumah is complete. Lo echad. I don't even have one parent. One of my parents is not tahar. They're both tamei. That's how the Mitzudas translates this pasuk.
How does he explain that he didn't do any aveiros?
How does he explain that he knows? So that's a good question. But he's a step back to Tzofar. Tzofar's argument is not that you did not do aveiros. You didn't reach your potential. To reach your potential, you also need motivation, inspiration. You need a good teacher, a good background. My parents did not give me that motivation to reach my potential. So that's what he's calling Tomei.
He doesn't say that, because he says, if I would have had one good parent...
I may have been. Then maybe. That's not something. Maybe you would have a good argument. Maybe. But I don't even have one good parent who would teach me to reach my potential.
Whatever I did reach is really good. Great.
Exactly. It's good enough. Whatever I reach is good enough. I don't deserve what I'm getting.
But that's why the evidence says that it's like, I come from human beings who are prone to error.
Oh, that's another interpretation. That's another interpretation. Right. Right. Yeah, that's right.
I'm a product of two other human beings.
So what do you want from me?
We are all four.
Right, so right. That's similar.
We're all born from the.
But the Mitzudas is a theme that he is consistent. Right. This is unique to the Mitzudas, reaching potential, and he's tying that to previous pasuk. I have no one to learn from. I just hear Echad is parents. Both of my parents, not even one of my parents, taught me that lesson, and you can't hold me accountable. Now Rashi is a little more difficult. Maybe you can help me. I don't have a clear clarity in Rashi. Rashi says me tain tahar, me dabar me. I come from a tipa srucha. Chazal always say this, a human being source, and we'll see the Medrash in a few moments that elaborates on this idea, a human being source is an av hatuma. Shechva zera is an av hatuma.
That is one of Mepharshim equated to Akavi ben Mahalim.
Right. The Pirkei Avos.
Bring that
over here. Me'ayim Bas, the person you focus on that as a source of, as a inspiration for humility. This is where you come, but he's actually using that. Midvar tipos ruchav shichva zereshu tamei. Now, what is lo echad behem tahar shalo yecheton? I don't know what that means exactly.
What you don't have a source of Tara?
Even one source of Tara?
So
what does echad mean? Define according to Rashi the exact meaning of echad in Rashi's interpretation.
One human being.
No, he doesn't say human beings here. He's not talking about human beings.
Yes.
Lo echad bohem. What does that mean exactly? Tahar.
In the
union.
Process.
Yeah. There's parents.
In the zera.
Yeah. The dam. The egg. Yeah.
There's not a single bit of tahara that you should expect me to come.
Oh,
out.
So a single bit, not a parent.
No, there's not a bit of kedusha.
There's not a mashu.
Right.
There's not a molecule of tahara
that I should.
Right.
Okay. So you want to translate? Okay, very good. So you translate. I want to put everything in perspective. According to the Mitzudos, echad means a parent. A man has two parents, as my father Zichron used to tell me. That when he was a child, they threw him out of the class. And they said to him, "Don't come back until you bring your mother or your father or one of your parents." Sending over here. Echad, according to the Mitzudas, means one of your parents. One of your two parents. But according to Rashi, that's not what it means. It's more poetic.
Maybe it's everybody comes from a tipus ruach.
Right.
In other words, either one of them are both born from a tipus ruach.
Every tipus ruach. So he's saying something different than we say. Yeah. Okay.
That's what I'm,
different interpretations. That there are multiple tipus. And if Chazal Taka say,
no such thing as a tipa, that's not a tipus
ruach. All of the tipa. Okay. Okay. That's it.
There's no human being that. Yeah. What I mean, it's not on the human being. The focus is on
the from the set of the world of tipa, srucha is in the world. There's no such thing of a tipa that's not srucha. That's what. Or you want to say, as Rav Meir is saying, is there's not even a mashu. There's not a mashu molecule in the creation, in the conception, the conception of a human being that has a molecule of tahara. So what possibly could you want from me? Okay, so it's Mitzudas, Rashi. Now let's read the Medrash.
Rashi doesn't say that he was saying.
What?
Rashi is learning that he is saying
he's making excuses.
Relatively, I'm better than others, but he's not saying I don't have anything. The Mitzudas is saying he is saying all along, I am pure like snow.
Yeah.
You're picking them.
Yeah.
And I even my parents, but Rashi is saying no. He can have faith, but. That's not the point. The point is that
it's okay to be. It's okay.
Not exactly like that, but that he, in other words, he didn't know what he did wrong. So maybe you see things that I don't see. I can't figure out. I'm trying to examine myself,
say,
and I don't find
any what
problems.
I did wrong.
You see it. I wish you could help
me
out.
Tell me
what
I did wrong.
Right.
He never says, "Tell me what I did wrong." He says,
"He did before."
Yeah,
you broke him ago. He says, "Tell me, show me."
You challenge him. Show me. I didn't do anything wrong. Show me.
Right.
This is
but he acknowledges that God may see problems, but he can't figure it out what. He can't figure out what, but I might have, according to your judgment.
Okay, so we have already two or three interpretations of the word echot.
Right.
Now let's take a look at the Targum before we do the Medrash, because the Medrash really expands upon the Targum. Mayitain dake means pure, min gevar, from a man. So he's saying tamei, before we even get to the word echot, is the istoeb, which is hated. Right? Doesn't this istoeb mean hated?
Or despised.
Bechoven in sin. So he's saying that Tame means a human being, a man, a child is a product of a human being that is guilty. I come from parents who are sinners. It's a much more powerful expression. Right? So it's a whole different flavor. And then he goes on to say, ilulafon, which means other, how could such a thing happen? Elokod. Dihu chad, Hashem. Echad means Hashem. So not a parent, not a tipa. Echad means the one that created such a phenomenon that a human being, that something that is tar, it's not nothing that a tar, a child that comes into this world, I guess he's saying, a child comes into this world, is tar, is a pure, has no sin. And where does a child come from? A parent who is molechet. How could such a thing exist that tahara can come out of chait, not just tuma? Tuma here means the worst type of tuma, chait. If not for the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was goyzer, and what does that have to do with Eve's defense? I don't know. It's not really clear. How is this an argument in his defense?
What does the next word mean? Yishbo.
Hashem, Hashem allows such a thing. Yishvak means to permit. HaKadosh Baruch Hu permits. I don't know. I really don't know. It's not. I'm not.
Defense is only human. It's not. I have to get away from this parent thing. He's talking about humanity. And
yeah, that's what. Well,
my defense is I'm only human. What do you expect?
Right. I agree.
So you can do it a couple of ways. Saying I'm either only human and I'm born out of tumah v'tumah. Or there's
humanity is.
Right, humanity is born for women.
We're all born.
Yes, it's the human condition, not the parental condition necessarily.
Okay. All right. Okay, that's really the theme. That's the theme of all the common denominator of all of the interpretations. But the point we want to make here, according to the Targum, at least I don't have a clarity in what the depth of what he's saying is. But Echad means Hashem. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the one that allows such. That's Echad is Hashem, and the Tomei refers to a human being who is Molechet. HaKadosh Baruch Hu allows sinners to produce children who are Tzadikim. Now, to elaborate upon that thing, let me read for you. You don't have this in front of you, but I have it here in front of you. A Medrash. Bamidbar Rabbah, Parsha Yud Tes. I'll just read part of the Medrash. And in the Medrash, there are some very interesting hidden nuggets, the side things that come out of this Medrash. So, Madiber HaKosov Elok and Avraham. Give different examples of Tohar, human beings that are Tzadikim. Seemingly what the Medrash means to say, Tzadikim, Torah, Tzadik, who come from wicked people, or people that are not as righteous. For example, Avraham comes mit Terach, right? Mitchilo oivde avodah zara hoyu avosenu. Terach was an oivde avodah zara when Avraham was born. Chizkiah HaMelech, one of the greatest kings, he came from, he could have been Melech HaMashiach, who was his father? Ochas, one of the worst of the worst. Chizkiah, in fact, dragged his father's body on a mita shel chavolim. Yoshiah came from Ammon. Ammon was the worst of the worst. He had relations with his mother in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Mordechai, I was never aware of this. Are you familiar with this? Mordechai came Mishimi. Now, Shimon ben Gera, he means. Mm-hmm. He doesn't mean his father. Who's Mordechai's father? Mordechai Hayu, your ear.
Ben
Kish, Ben, wait, how's it go? Mordechai.
Ben your ear, Ben Shimi.
Ben Shimi was jumping back many generations. And Shimi was Shimi Ben Gera, who cursed David, a Klala Nimretzes. So here he's breaking with the other Avraham, Terah, Chizkiah, Achaz, the fourth person mentioned in this list is skipping many generations. See, Mordechai, you go to Avraham Terach. That's one generation. Chizkiah Nachas, one generation. Yoshi and Amon. Then we get to Mordechai. Oh, selective Yichus. That's a little bit strange, because you would say, you go to Yoyer. Well, why are you going all the way back to Shimi?
Brings other examples. What do you know about Yoyer?
What? Oh, so Erechan, what do we know about Yoyer? Okay, but he's going back to Shimi. Okay, Yisrael. Now here he goes. This is very interesting. What is it now? Yisrael, where did Klal Yisrael come from? We come from the Umos HaOlam. What does that mean exactly? We are a product. This is a Medrash. I'm not making this up. Klal Yisrael is a product of the Umos HaOlam. The Umos HaOlam produced us. That's what the Medrash says. When it says me, how could it possibly that it can come a Tohar Mitame? Klal Yisrael is a product of the Umos. They produced us. They gave birth to us, so to speak.
Well, that's why what? Israel is the last of the nations on the scene. The 70 nations came first, and then
okay, which means they contributed to our existence. Now, if you go to a real Haredi school, they're not going to tell you that that's not because to say such thing like that. Klal Yisrael is special.
That's why it skipped the generation by Mordechai, because yeah. Klal Yisrael, the previous generation was Yaakov.
Right.
They were tzaddikim, but if you go back another generation, you come to Lavan.
You're going to
on one side.
Okay. Klali, but what's interesting about this medrash is that it puts Klali Yisrael as part of the larger community. We look at ourselves as a ghetto. Like we have no.
Yeah, but what is Klali Yisrael? Klali Yisrael definition is whoever was makabel Torah.
Right.
So how many gerim are part of Klali Yisrael? You have. You could have taken it further. Amon's grandchildren.
Bnei Brak.
Bnei Brak. Unkelis himself.
Was a ger.
Right. Rabbi Akiva. So the whole Am Yisrael, the Mahus, when you say Am Yisrael, you should realize that we're a conglomerate of all.
That's a very powerful idea, you say. It's a very powerful idea, and it's very true. It's very, very true, and it's very dangerous.
Oh, yeah.
It's very true. Look, what I was saying now is, of course, but this is what the Reforms say. The Reforms say, I heard this, it's good to bring intermarriage, the 70% intermarriage rate in the United States. It's good to bring in blood from the world.
If someone's intermarried and the kid becomes a Baal Tshuva and he does Giyur,
yeah.
If he needs, if his mother, let's say his mother was Jewish, and the kid can become a...
That's right.
A government. That's right.
But we don't, today in the modern world, the derech is not to embrace such a policy. We accept it with open arms when they come our way.
The kids will listen.
Exactly. But what you're saying is, excuse me.
Every time you have a ger, it still dilutes Yiddishkeit.
But he's saying Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Meir and Unkelis, all of the greatest of the great, where do they have come from? It's a very delicate balance. That's what I'm saying. I just want to. This is a powerful statement. A Klal Yisrael is a product of the Umos Olam. Okay, that's all. Now, here's another shocking thing, which this is in Yoni Kabbalah. Ha'olam Haba, which is Kula Kodesh, is a product, is an outgrowth of Olam Hazeh, Me'olam Hazeh, which is Tamei. This world is a place of impurity, and this world is the mother of Olam Haba. Very interesting idea. How could there be such a thing? Who meets Sivakate? So the Medrash goes on, like what the Targum says, Migozakain, Lo Yechidu Shalaylam. The only one that can produce such a thing, which does not make logical sense to a human being, is HaKadosh Baruch Hu.
So he's keying on the word Echad.
Echad means Hashem. Right, like Ungulus. Echad, like not no Ungulus, it means Targum and Azil. Whoever the Targum is here. It means Echad means Hakadosh Baruch Hu. Echad means Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. Hakadosh Baruch Hu. From our perspective, such a thing would not make any sense. That tumah can be a source of tahara, yet that's the way the world is. Everything that's tar in this world has come from a source of tar. And now he elaborates upon that very, very much. Now he gives them, but he just first is giving examples in terms of human beings. Human beings or nations, or us as a nation, or olam haba, which has come from source of tumah. Now he gives examples in halacha. For example, tamana tanina, the Midrash goes on, baheres. Baheres is a white spot on the skin, a discoloration, is saras. A person is tamei, he has to be sent out of three machanos. Tamei, tamei yikrit, serious business. Kigris ba'adam, he's tamei. But what happens if the baheres spreads, the entire body spreads tar, kula tar. Parcha b'chuloi tar, how could that possibly be? How could this thing, which is the source of tumah, and now when it gets larger, it expands and covers the entire body, is tar? Miyasakein, mitzivakein, migazakein, lo yichidu shalaylam. Another example, ha'isha shemes, v'lada b'beyecha, a woman who has a dead fetus in her womb, so the woman is tar because it's tumah b'lua. The whole concept of tumah b'lua doesn't make any sense. Inside a woman's womb is a dead fetus. So is the woman, the mother, is she tahor or tameh? Is she allowed to eat kashim because she go to the Beis Hamikdash? Absolutely. Because the tumah, the dead body, that's it, is contained inside. If a midwife would insert her hand into the woman's womb and touch the dead fetus, the midwife or the woman would become an avatumah. So how could it then be that this woman who is the source of the avatumah, she is carrying within her the avatumah, she is tahar, and someone that makes contact with what's inside of her becomes tamei? It doesn't make sense. Tamon tanina no isha shemes v'lod b'meyecha v'yoshitu chachaya es yodu v'noga bo hachaya tameya. The chaya, the midwife, is tameya to mashiva, but v'yoshitu tahayra atchit heitzei havlod. Can you give other halachic examples? If the entire Sanhedrin says guilty, and they all say, right, if the entire, but there this alach, see, the Medrash does not give an example. If you have a Sanhedrin, 22 judges say guilty, and one says innocent, they kill him. If all 23 say guilty, he goes free. Now, so you want to say it doesn't make any sense, like a baheres, but the Medrash does not give that as an example, and possibly, I don't know, maybe it's an example, but possibly because there's a technique, it's not that he's innocent. If all 23 people say that he's guilty, he's guilty, he is guilty. The problem is he can't get a fair trial, because there's no one that's mimalamid tzchus.
Yeah, but what a mafarshim said, I mean, basically, yes, but in other words, since the job of the Gemara says over there, since the job of the jury is to find schusim.
Right, they can't find schusim.
You're not good judges. If not one of you could find the schusim, this person.
This is not a good trial.
You haven't done your job.
But it doesn't mean that he's innocent. Right. See, when it comes to tzaras,
it's another problem that God has to deal with.
The person's not going to go free. They're going to lock him up in prison. He's not going to go free. Tzaras, if the nega spreads to the entire body, he's tar. He can go to the Beis Hamikdash. He can catch him. He's 100% tar. A ratzeach, 23 judges, you're guilty. He's not an innocent man. He's a ratzeach. They kill him anyway. Yeah, they kill him anyway, indirectly.
We didn't do anything. You didn't do anything. We didn't do anything.
Like I told you that story, this guy.
Oh, you died because you didn't eat? Well, sorry.
I once told you this. So once confessed, there was a person that this goes back. I told someone the story. He told me that he had a patient, an elderly man came in and he confessed to him that when he was a young man, this probably goes back 60, 70 years, there was a criminal in society. And the Rebbe said, this person has to be taken care of. So he confessed to his doctor that I was one of the people that held him down in the mikvah. He never came out of the mikvah. Yeah, he basically murdered him. He murdered him. So vigilante. Right. There's a whole story in the news about
that. Israel says over there, how could you even think this concept could exist? And it says tikkun olam. That's what he says.
Tikkun olam, right?
He says, but they take an island. In other words, people get depressed if they see this guy walking the street. It's a busha.
Okay, so and what's the class? Then it elaborates very much. We're not going to go into the classic example of Paraduma. Paraduma is the classic example of the people that are Isaac in being Mitaher, the they become Tameh, and the person that's Tameh becomes Tar. How could that possibly be a paradox? The one that's Tameh becomes Tar, the one that's Tar becomes Tameh. So you do see Lo Yechad. Who can be Goyiz such a thing? It's only HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now, L'chayra, this is a Medrash which is being taken out of context, and it's not really providing us a solution. It doesn't really, at least on a very simple level, to provide a solution for Eve's defense or Eve's complaint to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Pashup Shad is like the Mitzudos, or like Rashi, the Pashup Shad, Ein Mikro Yoytzei Midei Pshutai, and then this Pasuk, which is very common, you hear this in Parashas Para, Parashas Chukas, this Pasuk, Lo Yechad, how could it be that the one that's Tahar becomes Tamei, the one that's Tamei becomes Tar, the only one that can be Goyiz of such a thing is HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ki Lo Yimachshu V'Sayim Machshu V'Sayim. I once read a...
It could mean that it was exaggerated with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but I'm not
beyond
on my own. Because Baruch Hu is God here, but it's not my problem.
It's not my problem.
It's not my fault.
It's not my problem. It's not my fault. So David, don't hold me accountable to your ways. If your ways are different than my ways,
the rules, so I gotta play with your rules.
It's not fair for me to suffer because of your rules. You could have your rules, but you can't cause me to suffer for your rules. All right. I mean, I once read probably some medrash that it used to be that to get smicha in certain yanim, you had to present 50 reasons. Why the halacha should be the opposite? Present you with a shayla. So what does it say in shul? What's the halacha? What does it say in shul? A hair is a chicken. Give me a smicha b'chena. No, here I'm showing you a chicken. Kurkavan. There's a hole. There's a discoloration. What's the halacha? It says in shulchan aruch the halacha is it's kosher. Okay, very good, excellent. I want you to close the shulchan aruch. I want you to give me now 50 reasons why it should be treif. Present me with 50 reasons. But the bottom line is, it's kosher. But show me 50 svaris, give me 50 kruma svaris why it should be treif.
It must have been a list
of. If a Talmud can do that, it shows he knows how to learn. It shows, but yet, Shulchan Aruch says it's kosher. It's a test of. You know, I was a Torah das. I was sitting there in the back. Rabelski was sitting there, and someone came to ask him a very complicated shaila, and I was eavesdropping. Okay, eschatayin ani maskir, and he presented the question, and then the person who was presenting the question, he started telling Rabelski svaros why it should be mutter. And Rabelski said, it's asur, and what you're saying is a svara. And I can tell you a svara fakert. It's just a svara. You have to know what the halacha is. I like your svara, it's a solid svara, but you have to realize. You could say just the opposite. Say that I could give you a different svara. And it was very interesting to listen to.
You know the answer, why do you ask?
Because obviously he got it wrong. The person, what he was trying to say, well, he walked away very, very upset. He told him that it was Asar. And all of his svaris were not accepted. Okay, let's go further. So this is the basic yisod of this pasuk of Mi Yitein Tohar Mitamei Loi Echad. According to the similar understanding, again, is that Eiv is telling Kadosh Baruch Hu, it's not fair. It's not fair to punish me because I have no potential. I don't have potential. I come from a source of impurity. Now pasuk goes on another excuse, another line of defense. Im charutzim yamav kama mispar chodoshav itach kama chukav asisa v'lo yavar. And this really goes into the next pasuk. It's coming now in a very poetic way to say that man's days are numbered. What do you want from me, Hashem? I'm only here for a very short period of time. This pasuk really begins the theme of the remainder of the parak where he denies Tchiyas Samesim. He denies Tchiyas Samesim. Now we take this as a given. As a given, it's one of the animamins. Right? But it's not so pashut. You think about it, then unless you are taught this, concept of Tchiyas Samesim, it's a very difficult concept. If we assume that Eve was not a Jew, he was not a member of Klal Yisrael, there's no reason for him to believe in Tchias HaMeisim. If you ask Goyim, Bizman, Goyim, non-Jew, do you believe in Tchias HaMeisim? They tell you no. Are you going to tell, you're going to say they're a Kofer? No. Why should they believe? If you believe this is HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's enough. There's even a very big question. If a person is not a maimon in all of the 13 Yud Gimel Animam, when is he called a Kofer? So there's a lot of discussion about this. So,
Martin Sanhedrin tries 11 proof texts and it's not really, you know, certainly the first 10, it's not sold on them.
Emunah. There are four examples in the Torah of in the Torah. The Torah says this Tchias HaMeisim. There are different diukim in the Torah of Tchias HaMeisim. But if a person is not a member of Klal Yisrael and this has not been taught,
it's not axiomatic,
right? You're not held accountable. And he does that here in a very elaborate way where he says, Hashem, it's not fair. I'm soon going to die and I'm never going to return to this world again. He makes it very clear there's no Tchias HaMeisim. So I have a limited time in this world and it's not fair for you to torture me like this. And the way
he's saying that he can't do, as long as he's a human being who's living and walking this earth, at that moment he could still do tshuva, but once he leaves, even if there's an afterlife.
No, but it doesn't say that. He makes it very clear that there's no afterlife.
That's my impression as well, that he's
totally
looking like there's no Tchias HaMeisim.
Yeah. He explicitly says it.
But I'm saying that he could still look at it as say that I can't do anything when you're dead, there may be Tchias HaMeisim, but there's nothing you could do anymore.
Well, we don't know that.
It's not responsible.
We don't know exactly how Tchias HaMeisim works.
That, nothing is in my scope of ability to change.
Okay.
I
appreciate it.
Again,
from what we see, So here he begins. Here he begins his description that man is has limited time. Chorutz means an etch, like you make an etch on a wall, a sundial. A charutz, like we have it in Rashi,
drag
a charitza. So it means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has a timeline. Hashem has a calendar, and Hashem looks at this person, and Hashem says, oh, this person on the timeline, he starts here, and he ends here. Kaviyachol, it's a mashal. Hashem has made an etch on the line, the time in history, where a human being expires. In charutzim yomov, when we describe a person's days, we use the word charutzim. If his days are etched to a limit, mispar chodoshav itach, the number of months are with you. It's very, this is an amazing idea where we describe man as by a Kadosh Baruch Hu's calendar has months. Like Sfira Soimer, there are days and there are weeks. They're very different concepts. They're very different concepts of time. Days and no months in Sfira Soimer, just days and weeks. Here in describing a human being, it's described in terms of man has a number of days before HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and there's another calculation, has a number of months. Itach chukav osisa, chukav means his limits. Now, I don't really know how that what that means in relative to days and months, but it's another expression, chukav osisa. You've made another. I'm translating loosely as his limits. What is the mitzvah sion? The known mitzvah sion, chukav osisa, the lo yavar, and man cannot exceed his time on this world. Now, this is hakdama to the next pasuk. Therefore, let's read the next pasuk. She'ei me'olav. Therefore, since I'm only going to be here for a short time, leave me alone. She'ei means to remove. Remove your hand. Remove your punishment from al me'olav, from upon him. He's talking about himself in third person. From upon that creature, the yechdol, and cease, and desist. Leave me alone. Until my day comes, until the end of my life comes, and when my day comes, not only I'll then want to die. There's another very deep concept that when a person's time comes, he wants to go, and it's very interesting. You find that by people when they come to the end of their life, I want to go. They want to go, and they actually have the ability. I know someone. It's a very striking story that his mother was an elderly person and she got to a point in time where all of her friends died and she was all alone and she told her son, I want to die now. I had enough. I can't. And it was a healthy. Everything was 100%. And she basically went on a starvation diet. She refused to eat. She refused to eat so that she could die, and she ended up dying like that. And they took her to the hospital, and then it was very complicated because in the hospitals they didn't want to force feed her. They didn't want to put her in a tube. All the whole crazy. He had to sue the hospital. And by the time the son sued the hospital, it was already too late. She already was at a point where it was beyond return, and she ended up dying. So he was telling this to me in a very great deal. I said to him, "Are there any?" He says, "You don't believe me? Go online. Go online and do a Google search. You'll see that it's a very common phenomenon. Older people, they decide they don't want to live." So then I asked him, "What about a person under a 40-year-old, a 50-year-old? Is there such a phenomenon?"
In Australia, the indigenous people there,
yeah,
they have the belief.
Yeah, religious belief.
Someone says something about them, they die, and they go away, like Chutzal Machadam, they sit and they die.
And they don't eat? Okay, I don't know. But he told me, he said to me, it doesn't exist. I was shocked. He said to me, this phenomenon of deciding I want to die and stop eating, scientifically, you need an enormous amount of willpower. Can you imagine? It does not exist by young people. People in their 40s, 50s, and 60s, it doesn't exist. Because even if a person is so depressed and wants to die, he can't bring himself not to eat. It's just a physical thing. But yet, at a certain age, it's like no big deal. I had enough. They shut down. I don't want to eat. They don't eat. And they just slowly... And it's really hidden.
This week, the story on the news.
Yeah.
People were married 70 years.
Yeah.
Since they were 20, they were both in their 90s, and the woman finally died. And he said to his children, who were old also, that he had enough now. He doesn't want to live without her. And he was basically a healthy guy. He died 16 hours later.
And how did he die? What did he die from?
He just died.
Just died.
Just died.
That's
he didn't want to know what he said. But he says he doesn't want to be.
That's a psychological thing.
That's only true in old people. You don't see that about young people. Why? Because what it says over here, ad yirtzeh, it's a scary thing. A person will want until there comes a point when a person reaches his end. That's what's the continuation of this pasuk. When the person reaches the yomim that have been chalutzim, the chadoshav that have come to the number, the chukov has come to the end. Then I've reached my end. I now want to die, and I await it like a worker can't wait for the day to be over. 9 to 5. No such thing as 9 to 5 anymore. And you punch your card out. It's like it's 24/7 today with social media. And it used to be in the old days when the day is over, the whistle blows, that's it, you're out. And let's see what it says over here in the minute. Somebody explains. Consultants are the worst. They're the worst. There's no day, there's no night. Okay, let's take a look over here at the mitzvahs. These two psukim, the mitzvahs in Rashi. Pasuk hey, im charutzim, im omnam yimei ha'odam heim kitzuvim. If it's really true that the days of man are, it's not saying if really it is true, im omnam, being that it is true, that yimei ha'odam heim kitzuvim, ucherusim, b'mida, in measure. Man's days are set. Umispar chadoshav heima imach. Man's months, another way of measuring man's lifespan. Ki ato samto lehemispar, you have set for man a number of months. V'yosi salo, this is the end of the pasuk, and you have made for man a chok kovua, ad kama yichye, how long man will live. It's already put, predetermined. V'lo yavor hagvul, and the gvul, the limit will not be surpassed. Therefore, she'ei, the next pasuk, lezos, therefore, hoser me'olof, makos yodecha. So why are you torturing man? He's only going to be here for a short period of time. What's the big deal? Man's going to die anyway. Take or remove, pull back your hand from punishing him. V'yechadal mehem, leave him alone. B'ma'at yama, for the few days that he has, ad asher yavohu, yimei hazikna, until old age arrives, and then the man will help you, Hashem. Man will participate in his own death by wanting to die. V'yirtze b'misa, v'yikaveh lo. Man will yearn for that moment of death. Why? Because he senses my time has come. My time has come. I'm only here to be in this world for a certain amount of time. I sense my time has come. And now I want to fulfill the will. I want to die. Kisachir, like a worker. Haroitza behashlamas hayom. A worker wants to go home when the day is over. Umikave lezeh. Yeah.
Saying that
she'ei means leave me alone. Yeah. If I may step out of my nisach for a moment, Ritzei,
Hashem
will give you a
koyus or el ulas bi
wasom she'ei. Yeah, she means to listen.
Mm.
I don't understand. She'ei.
Same word.
Okay, she'ei may Olav listen.
Contradictory. Doesn't mean leave me alone. I'm trying to get a response here.
She'ei me'olav. Okay, I'm not sure. I'm not sure what you mean. I'm not sure what you mean. Okay, let's just see the Rashi's. The Rashi say this is a hard Rashi. I don't have clarity in these Rashi. Let's try to do the best we can. Im charutzim yamav. Im gemul zehu mishtaleim. If there's this reward which you will pay. Gemul zehu mishtaleim. Charutzim ukitzuvim liyom kavua umiyud lemisa. Okay, I'm not exactly sure what that means. What does that mean? What do you think that means? If this reward, what reward? The punishment, retribution, reward and punishment. Im gemul zehu mishtaleim shecharutzim ukitzuvim liyom kavua umiyud lemisa umisbar chadashav itach kitzuvim are set v'chog ze'asis lo v'lo yiskayim od yoseh ba'olam. It will never exist again in the world. In other words, it's not going to be tchias hamesim. Dai lecha b'tashlumin halalu. It's enough with this.
If my days are numbered, then that's enough punishment.
That's enough.
So then just call it quits, but let me live a decent life while I'm here.
So then death is his own punishment.
Right.
Okay, that's how you want to learn pshat. The gemul is. The fact that man is designated for death, that itself is the ultimate punishment. So what more do you want from me, Hashem? Okay, that's how we'll learn. That death is the ultimate punishment, that should be enough. Therefore, but also miut, choratz hayamim, in that miut chiyut sayamim, in that small number of days which has been etched, the yechta lo mimichoiv, and cease from pain ad yirtze bizik nusoy. This,
in other words, if I was going to live much longer, then I could understand trying to make me a better person or whatever it is that you know. But I'm only going to be here a little while, so what's the difference?
Okay.
I know.
Until man will want, he'll want his old age and his weakness. As yoy moysoy, kisachir haroitzel lehashlama savodes yomo ki aveirosoy mina oilam chaluta vinitz neses. Man's passing from this world is absolute. There's no way to escape it. Mishar kol ho'ivrim, from relative to all things which pass. Relative to all things, things come and go. Will the economy survive? Maybe yes, maybe not. But man is certainly going to die. You can't escape from death and taxes. Everything else is a maybe. That's what he's saying over here. Everything else, maybe, and seemingly, this he's saying this is the ultimate punishment. So therefore, Shei Me'olav, leave him alone.
Zion is going to say, flat out.
Okay, he's going to compare a man to a tree. A tree at least has hope, but man has no hope.
You keep cutting it down; it starts to grow.
Death is its worst punishment. It's the worst punishment, and that finality should be enough of a punishment for me. And there's no need for you, Hashem, to bring more suffering upon me. Okay, we'll leave it with that. Okay, we'll pick this up, Yitzhak Hashem, tomorrow.